This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Bombshell tonight, a gorgeous young pregnant mom, just 21 years old, chased through the house, then sliced open for her baby. Tonight, the killer's whiny rants from behind jailhouse walls. Good evening. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. I want to thank you for being with us.
New Boston 911, what's your emergency?
Help me, my daughter's been murdered. Shadow got somebody got in her house.
New Boston 911, what's your emergency? Ma'am.
Help me, my daughter's been murdered.
What happened?
I don't know, somebody got in her house.
Okay.
Everywhere.
Okay, stay on the line with me, okay?
Oh, my grandbaby.
Can you tell me what happened?
I don't know what happened. Her husband couldn't get her on the phone. She didn't go to work. Oh, my God. My daughter.
Okay. Do you know what happened to her, ma'am?
My grandbaby. I don't know. There's blood everywhere.
You are hearing the disturbing, the upsetting, the graphic 911 call upon the discovery of this beautiful young mom, just 21 years old. This is as the jury heard it. Listen.
Is she okay? Oh, my God. What am I going to do?
Ma'am.
Hey.
Ma'am. Okay, who's there with you right now?
My husband and a friend of my friend, Chris.
Okay.
And my three-year-old grandbabies. Please.
Okay, ma'am. They're en route to you right now. Can you see what, can you tell what happened to her?
I don't, can you tell what happened? They just hurt her. Did they just hurt her? What did they do? Don't know. We can't tell. There's so much blood.
I am now bringing in two very special guest, Jessica Brooks. This is Reagan Hancock's mother. And Emily Shirey. This is Reagan's sister. Tonight, Reagan's killer whiny rants from behind bars. But before you hear her whining and complaining, I want you to hear what happened to Reagan. Straight out to Jessica Brooks. This is Reagan's mother. What do you recall, Mrs. Brooks?
Just the most horror that you could ever imagine. As I turned down her road, I knew something was wrong. And as I stepped out of my vehicle and saw the streaks of blood, part of me already knew that something was terribly wrong. I didn't want to think it, of course, because I was telling myself a dog might have hurt its foot. You know, her dog had been out. And as I got to the door, there was a bloody fingerprint on the doorknob. And something about me was able to have enough of sense to know that I needed to take my shirt and touch the doorknob with my shirt, not touch it with my own hand. And as I opened it, I saw the bloody footprint in her dining room. And I immediately shut the door. I backed up, and then I thought to myself, you know, well, something has happened. If she's in there and she's hurt, I've got to check her. I've got to get to her. I've got to help her. So I went back, opened the door again further, and that's when I saw her body. Her hair stained red, of course, blood everywhere. And it was just... It was the most horrible thing you could imagine, if you could imagine it. I immediately walked back out. You know, I knew she was gone. And that's what I've told people. Something about myself, I don't remember the way I sounded in the 911 call. I don't remember feeling that way or sounding that way. Because in my mind now, you know, I feel like I knew I was upset and crying, but I didn't feel like I was screaming. And so I knew she was gone, and part of me had enough sense to know that I did not need to step into there and do any damage to that crime scene, that so that they would have a scene that they could investigate and find the person that did this.
It's amazing to me, Mrs. Brooks, that before you went into the home, you knew inside something horrible had happened. To what do you attribute that?
Being a mother. You know, it's like I've said, a child is a part of you, physically a part of a mother. You've carried that child. They grew inside of you. They're physically always a part of you. And you know your child. Me and her were very, very close. And I knew when Homer called me, her husband called me that day, that her not answering, and even not answering me when I tried to call her before I left my office, I knew that that wasn't right. And I knew that if she hadn't called work, that wasn't Reagan. Reagan was very responsible. She would not, you know, not do anything, like not show up to work and not let them know. So, and then it, like I said, as I turned down her street, her garage door was open, and they never left their garage door open. Even if she knew I was coming over or anybody was coming over, it was closed until I got there, and I would call and tell her I was there, and she had opened it for me. So just so many things just told me that something was terribly wrong.
Miss Brooks, did you actually see your daughter's body?
I did. Yes, ma'am. Thankfully, she was facing away from me, so I didn't see the extent of her injuries. I knew that, like I said, her hair was blonde. I knew it was red. It was just stained red. And I'd actually, after everything happened, you know, it stays in your brain, and I had to make, I drew it out, what I saw, just, you know, just a sketch, just to get it out of my head, basically. But yeah, she was facing away from me, kind of on her side, more or less. Her arm was kind of, you know, above her head, stretched from what I remember. But yet, like I said, thankfully I didn't see the extent of her injuries. I just knew blood was everywhere and she was gone.
Miss Brooks, when did you learn what had happened, and how far along was she in her pregnancy?
Yes, ma'am. She was 36 weeks. So she was due on, I believe I remember, November 8th. This was October 9th. So as far as when we found out what happened, the officers, New Boston Police Department, Sheriff's Department, all of Texas Rangers, they were all, of course, on scene and being wonderful to us, you know. But at the same time, it was an investigation. They couldn't tell us everything. We understand that. However, my husband, you know, everybody was kind of trying to keep me calm, I guess, and whatnot. And my husband, I could hear him on the phone talking with someone. I later found out it was my brother-in-law had called him and was telling him that there was something on Facebook. And all I could hear was Marcus saying, "On Facebook? You, really?" And so nobody would tell me what he was talking about. So I opened Facebook, you know, and I'm scrolling. And this was, I found her around, I think, 10 o'clock. And this was around noon, I think, maybe 12. I opened Facebook and just, I didn't even scroll maybe once, barely scrolled up, and there was an article from the local newspaper, New Boston mother murdered, baby cut from womb. And we all just kind of looked at each other, and I immediately kind of started walking towards the investigators. They were standing off away from us, and I was just holding my phone up, and I said, is this true? Is this, where is the baby? You know, is this true? And they said, we can't tell you anything at this point. But they could tell my husband, you know, before that had happened, I found out that he had been asking, how is the baby okay? Where's the baby? What's going on? And all they'd say is the baby's gone or the baby's deceased is all they could tell us. They never told us that she was taken.
So you had to learn it on Facebook, and the investigators are saying, oh, we can't comment. Somebody commented on it somewhere, and it made its way to the local reporter. I wonder how that happened, but that's really neither here nor there. What would the baby have been named?
Braxlyn Sage. Braxlyn Sage Hancock. They chose that name. Homer's, her dad's middle name was Lynn. And so it was Braxlyn Sage that they had chosen.
I can see up on the fridge all of the sonogram photos of Braxlyn Sage. Emily Shirey joining us. This is Reagan's sister. Tonight, bombshell whiny rants from the killer behind bars, if you can even imagine. These crime scene photos are horrific because it's so upsetting, and she's whining behind bars. To Emily Shirey, first to both of you, I thought I knew it all about grieving when you lose someone you love firsthand, but I cannot imagine losing my child, my beloved twins, or the baby. Emily, you and your family have been through a hell I cannot even imagine. What do you remember of that day?
I got home, and as we were walking up to my apartment, Wade was like, "Your mom is okay." And I was like, "Oh my gosh, what's happened? You know, what's happened to my mom?" And my aunt met me outside the door of the apartment and walked me in and sat me down. And she was like, "Okay, something's happened. Reagan has been murdered." And I just fell to my knees and was screaming, my sister, I cannot believe it. You know, what happened?" And she was like, "Someone broke into her house and murdered her." And I couldn't comprehend it. I was like, "I've got to get to my mom. I've got to figure out what's happened. Is my niece okay?" Was my immediate question was, "Is she okay?" And they said, "She's okay. She was home, but she's okay." And me and my husband, my now husband, got in the car and drove to New Boston. And on our way there is when mom sent me a text that said, "Don't look at Facebook." And of course, when you hear "don't look at Facebook," you look at Facebook. So I looked at Facebook and I seen the post about the child was removed from her, and I couldn't wrap my head around any of it. At that point, I just kind of zoned out. I had no comprehension of us even making it to my mom's house at that point. I just tried to mute everything.
Straight out to renowned forensic psychologist Karen Stark, radio and TV trauma expert. Karen, what is the phenomena when you, I experienced it myself, I still can't remember huge chunks of time around my fiancé's murder. What is that phenomenon? You just heard her sister state that Reagan's sister, she zoned out. She can't remember what happened at that point.
Whenever you're in a traumatic situation, and by the way, I'm so sorry, I want to say that to the family, but whenever you're in that kind of a traumatic situation, you go into shock. Most that happens to most people, and your adrenaline is going and everything slows down. It's like slow motion, and it's very hard to be aware of what's happening. Nothing feels real. It's surreal. You're kind of on automatic pilot. So it's self-protection. You just don't remember what was happening at that moment because something was so horrific and overwhelming.
Back to Reagan's mom joining us tonight, Miss Jessica Brooks. Miss Brooks, let me understand another fact in the scenario. Is it true that Reagan's 3-year-old child was home when its mother was murdered?
Yes, she was. Yes, ma'am.
Does the baby have any recollection of what happened?
We have not asked her. Honestly, we've not asked her what she saw. We've kind of left that to her, but there is evidence that she witnessed something, if not all of it. Obviously, she heard it, you know, either way. But yes, ma'am, there's evidence that she saw her mom.
Now, while all this is taking place, while Reagan's body is being discovered with her child wandering around the house calling for mommy, you heard the screams of Reagan's mother when she discovers her. What a coincidence, a coinkydink, that another 911 call comes in.
New Boston 911, what's your emergency?
I have a state trooper behind me, and I need an ambulance because I started having my baby.
Okay, stay on the line. I'm going to get you to LifeNet.
I got a trooper behind
me. Okay, stay on the line. It's going to be okay. Stay on the line.
I just need an ambulance to get to Annabelle.
What's your address?
I'm parked on the side of the road. We're going to Annabelle for my doctor. I need to get up there.
She said she's gone into labor. She has a state trooper behind her.
Okay.
Sorry.
State trooper there. Okay, tell me exactly what happened.
I started having my baby.
The ambulance brought one thing?
I started having her. I could not drive.
Where are they?
Because I was trying to push your baby out.
What a coincidence. Okay, straight out to Greg Morse joining us, veteran defense attorney out of Palm Beach, founder of Morse Legal, former West Palm Beach Public Defender's Office, and author of the book The Untested on Amazon. Greg, you think a jury doesn't take into account the timing where this woman, Taylor Parker, suddenly has a baby covered in blood in her car and says she just gave birth, and right down the street, you have Reagan, pregnant, once pregnant Reagan, dead?
All right. Well, you know, coincidences happen in life. It doesn't mean that someone committed a crime because a coincidence happens. A lot of children are born all the time in small communities and big communities. So that fact alone is not indicative that Parker, you know, killed Reagan and removed the baby just on that fact alone. Not at all. It's just a coincidence. She's on her way.
Okay.
The family. Everyone.
Well, you've heard the 911 call. You know the timing. So, Greg Morse, don't you just hate when there's body cam video? Watch.
What's wrong, man?
I had my baby, and I'm trying to get to Idabel Hospital.
Idabel?
Yeah, my husband's up there.
Why aren't you going to St. Michael's or somewhere?
We're going to Idabel. It's where my doctor is. I need to get up there. She's not breathing. She's not breathing.
Hello.
Say that again.
Hey. Yeah, the baby's not breathing. She's doing CPR on the baby right now. Hey, I'm out here with a lady who just had a baby. The baby is not breathing. She's on the phone with EMS. She's trying to get to Idabel Hospital, but
we gotta go to Idabel. That's where I'm going. I'm not going to St. Michael's.
Okay.
They hurt my last baby. I'm not going there. I just need LifeNet, and they can take me.
On the phone.
Body cam obtained by True Crime Unfiltered. Right there, there is a big tell. To Naomi Channel joining us, TV producer, host of The Real Podcast, has extensively researched fetal abduction, including this case. Naomi, thank you for being with us tonight. Here's
thank
a big
you.
Tell. When my children were born prematurely, it was an emergency, okay? There is no way in H-E-double-L I would have said, I just need LifeNet. They can take me. There's no way I would leave John David and Lucy behind. and save myself? Right there. Their radar, their tentacles, their antenna should have gone straight up. What about it, Naomi?
It's unbelievable. I've never seen anything like this before. She deserves an Oscar for that performance. It is utterly insane. She had no regard, even while she's doing the CPR, I know it's blurred out, but even then she is looking with it. She looks rehearsed. She actually looks very in control. And for any woman who has just had a baby, that is not how you are afterwards. Not at all.
Hey, put Naomi up just one moment. Do you notice how her hair is still up? Sorry about that, control room. Let me see her again. And she still has her sunglasses on top of her head. Wow. Okay. Let's look at her. Look at her. Her shirt is completely clean, at least from the waist up. What? How is this? How is this possible? Okay, Naomi, pick it up right there.
It's like, I mean, the chair's not even moved back. The window wasn't open. The door's not open. This is so scarily rehearsed. There is just nothing. And I used to work in antenatal education as well, Nancy. And I have been around women who have given birth, including myself. And any woman, and probably any man who has accompanied a woman who is seeing this, there is something not right from the get-go.
Naomi Channel joining us along with Jessica Brooks and Emily Shirey. Also with us tonight, a renowned medical examiner, Dr. Thomas Coyne, joining us out of Tallahassee. He is the District 8 medical examiner, toxicologist, forensic pathologist, neuropathologist. I could go on and on about Thomas Coyne. Dr. Coyne, now this is anecdotal, but I gave birth at almost 31 weeks. The twins were extremely premature. My husband let me off at the front door so he could go park. I couldn't make it to go park and walk in. I walked into the lobby. That was it. I laid down on the floor under a bench in the lobby so no one would step on me because I could not take another step. In the floor, Dr. Coyne. And I'm looking at this woman. She's still got her sunglasses perched on her head. And she's speaking forcefully. I'm not buying it. They should have known immediately something was wrong. What do you make of it, Dr. Coyne?
Oh, I agree entirely. For a person who just gave birth, should not be able to have that amount of energy and appear that together. And my only thought process is that the law enforcement officer was looking at the baby and focusing on the baby rather than the mom at the time, because the baby was the one who was in need of CPR and resuscitative efforts. And so perhaps maybe all the attention went there rather than for the obvious glaring, things that we see looking back, with hindsight and looking back now that we have time to do so. But yeah, no, I would not expect a person who gave birth to.
Yeah. Does she have on makeup? Does she actually have on eye makeup? Okay, I'm sorry. That's neither here nor there, actually. Go ahead, Dr. Coyne.
No, I was just saying, you're absolutely right. I mean, a woman who just gives birth, I mean, it's a traumatic experience. I mean, the physical exertion that's required for giving birth, the loss of fluids, the fear exertion, especially if she's claiming that she had a normal vaginal birth, she should not be able to behaving the way she is behaving.
Now we're seeing her sitting down, lying down on a gurney. No. Jessica Brooks is joining us. This is Reagan's mother. Jessica, everything I'm seeing is screaming, wrong. This is a lie. I can't put my finger on everything I'm seeing, but as a mom that had a very difficult delivery, everything about that is wrong.
Absolutely. I mean, could you imagine having given birth in a car and that, like somebody mentioned, the seat's not even back. She's up against the steering wheel. It's impossible. And she said that she had started having her baby on the call and the trooper pulls her over and here's the baby, that's, I don't even think the the blood was still really wet on her. You know, it's just, there's so many things. And but at the same time, you don't expect something like that to have happened.
There's something wrong also, Karen Stark, with the body language. The way she's holding the baby. That's Braxton Sage. She's holding Braxton Sage like it's an it. She's an it. I mean, watch this. Karen, I think I would have been running out in the street screaming, trying to flag down. I don't know what I would have been done, but not that. That is not what I would have done.
So indicative of what's really happening here, Nancy, because this baby is not real to her. It's not a baby. It's an object. It could be a doll. She's like kind of tapping on it, but mostly she's talking and looking up. And this baby, who would do this? I don't know anyone, just like you. Anyone would be screaming, help my baby. She's not breathing. But no, she's like, the baby's not breathing, and then she's kind of tapping it and looking up and worried about herself. And this is so indicative of somebody who is completely out of it, doesn't care. Think of a serial killer, a murderer. She has no regard for this baby. It is all about her, and the baby's a vehicle, a way for her to get what she wanted.
Body cam obtained by True Crime Unfiltered. Let's fast forward to Taylor Parker in the hospital. When it's discovered, wait for it, Greg Morse, that she's had a hysterectomy. Oopsie.
I'm just going to be up front with you. I've been talking to the DA down in Bowie County, and they've been working on a case down there. And we know that you had a hysterectomy some time back, and that you claimed to be pregnant for a while, but that you really weren't. So we're trying to figure out where this baby came from. But you didn't give birth this morning.
What do you mean?
So I just said, you didn't give birth this morning. And we want to know where this baby came from. That's why I'm here. So what happened?
I just told y'all what happened.
Okay, Greg Morse, do you want to take a crack at that? She's still sticking to her story, and they just confronted her with the fact that she had a hysterectomy.
Well, clearly...
You do know what a hysterectomy is, right, Greg Morse?
I do, Nancy. And clearly in this community, the police never heard of Miranda before, because at that moment, when they find out she did not give birth and they start questioning her, they should have read her Miranda. But I also have a bigger issue with this. You know, that first responder was very lackadaisical at that car door, regardless of how Taylor Parker's acting. That first responder is trained in CPR. He doesn't even make an attempt to save that baby's life. So whether that would have been forward to a murder, I think there's an intervening cause there with regard to that first responder.
Objection.
Absolutely.
Non-responsive to the question. Non-responsive. I asked you,
again,
do you know what a hysterectomy is?
I do know what a hysterectomy is, and you
this
know,
woman
those are
had
things
that, a hysterectomy. Yeah.
And these things would have fed into an insanity defense, and unfortunately, her lawyers didn't advance that for her. So, you know, she went back and had a process. She was living in an alternate reality. She believed she could have kids, maybe, and her psychosis was at a state that wasn't like yours and mine and regular people. And it could be linked back to that hysterectomy. I don't know the answer to that because I haven't seen her medical records. But what I do know is nobody reads her Miranda, it seems, from that video, because they've never heard of it. And that first responder, I don't know, he wasn't acting very like there was an emergency in front of him. So it was
okay,
kind of bizarre.
So it's the first responder's fault that she had a hysterectomy. I don't even know what you're saying, but okay, well, listen to this.
I didn't kill anybody.
Where'd this baby come from? We're past all of that. Taylor, we're past that.
I did not kill anybody. I didn't kill anybody.
So was she alive when you left?
I wasn't with any. I wasn't with her.
Did you get her baby?
It's mine.
I don't know what's wrong with me. Because I've never been a bad person.
I don't think you are.
I don't know why. I don't know why I blacked out.
Do you know what y'all were fighting over?
She called me a liar.
Number one, yes, you are a bad person. And that is putting it so, so mildly. And number two, you did not black out. To Reagan's mother, Jessica Brooks, what goes through your mind when you see all of these lies?
Oh, just everything that came out in court, of course. She has been lying her whole life. And this was the peak of her lies. This was where everything gets exposed, what she is, who she is, and she is lost at knowing how to fix this at this point. She can't get out of it. She's just spinning her wheels, trying to stick to her story, and then trying to make herself the victim. She claims, you know, that Reagan called her a liar. She claims that Reagan attacked her, and she's just as if she is today, just no remorse. She's all about herself.
And you know what, Jessica? Miss Jessica Brooks, you said nothing has changed even up to today. Well, you are so right. The whiny rants this woman goes on behind bars, unbelievable.
Did she say anything to you about makeup? Did you say anything to her about makeup? Because she doesn't think that makeup's going to be an option for you.
Yeah, Jeff was taking care of it. That's what he told me.
So the thing about it is, if they try to discriminate you as a person, that will work in your favor in the long run because they're not giving you a fair chance. You know, they're wanting you to look like a homeless criminal, you know. Mm-hmm. They're not wanting you to look like a human because that would be beneficial to you and detrimental to them.
Yes, you heard it. She's whining about makeup. Naomi Channel joining us, TV producer, host of The Real Podcast, who has extensively researched and investigated not just this case, but many fetal abductions. Naomi, what is she talking about?
She's so far gone. Anyone that would do this anyway is despicable. But the fact that she keeps doing this, she is prolonging this family's pain. She's prolonging the pain of everyone who loved Reagan. And this is what is just despicable. And we don't need you to look like a homeless criminal in court because we've seen the body cam. We've seen the feeble attempts of pretending to do CPR. We've seen that you've had a hysterectomy. This is not your child. So we've seen this. So these rants are just...
Why does she want makeup, Naomi? Why is she angry about no makeup?
She's self-centered. This is all about her. Court is another opportunity for her, I think, to just perform, to be the center of attention, because I think this is what this was all about in the first place.
Okay, wait, put up Naomi. So this is a woman that wants to be the bride at every wedding and the corpse at every funeral because it's truly all about her and she needs her makeup. Is that right?
Oh, so you couldn't have said that better. Spot on. That is exactly what this is. This is all about her. She has never considered anyone else.
Okay. I got to go to a defense attorney here. Greg Morris, you win a lot of cases. Is it because you carry around a makeup pouch with you? Is that your job? Legal research, oral arguments, cross-examinations, direct examinations, and makeup boy. She wants her makeup. And she's saying, that's discrimination. Excuse me. I didn't get my makeup. Where's my powder? Yeah. You're discriminating against me. Really?
Well, there's a few things going on here. First of all, you know, under the Constitution, the jury doesn't have a right to know you're in jail pre-trial. The jury doesn't have a right to know any of those things. So because it would be unfair, it would prejudge somebody and create a negative impression when we have the presumption of innocence.
He's saying this.
So her wanting makeup is a couple things. One is the fact that you're going to court, so you want to have regular clothes and you want to look like you normally do when you go out of your house or what have you. I've had
clients
want
makeup. It's not in the Constitution.
Makeup. No, but
it's not in case law.
Well,
there's no precedent for this.
She didn't get the makeup, but there's another thing going on here.
But you're trying to twist the makeup request into the right for civilian clothes in front of a jury.
No, you're not listening.
I just heard you.
She didn't get the right to that. She did not. I'm saying that's part of why
she's
saying.
No, she didn't, but that's what she wants. And you tried to lump it in with the right to wear civilian clothes in front of a jury. That's not what happened.
It all goes to the same. You want
to
present your best self. You want to present your best self at trial.
Control room, pull the car over. I'm coming back there.
Did she say anything to you about makeup? Did you say anything to her about makeup? Because she doesn't think that makeup's going to be an option for you.
Yeah, Jeff was taking care of it. That's what he told me.
So the thing about it is, if they try to discriminate you as a person, that will work in your favor in the long run because they're not giving you a fair chance. You know, they're wanting you to look like a homeless criminal, you know. They're not getting you to look like a human because that would be beneficial to you and detrimental to them.
Straight out to Reagan's mother, Jessica Brooks. She wants her makeup. She wants her lip gloss. You know where she can stick that lip gloss? About 3 inches up her tailpipe.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. And that's what she was about the whole time through trial. Everything in her life is about her. Her appearance, how she looks to other people, what other people think about her. She has to keep up this persona that she's this wonderful person that has done everything, has everything, and looks amazing. And if she doesn't have her makeup, then that's not who she is. And somebody's going to think different of her. So, yeah, that's what all along.
Well, that's not what's making me think differently about her. It's the crime scene. It's little baby Braxton Sage. That's what's making me think differently about her. But it doesn't end with the makeup pouch and the makeup discrimination. There's more. Oh, those lights, they're just too much on me. I'm so sensitive. Listen.
I don't understand. You have already been diagnosed with hemiplegic migraines, all right? If those lights trigger a migraine episode, the damn jail is going to have more problems than they have right now with you.
Correct. And that's what me and her discussed today.
And maybe, just maybe, you should hold your eyes open just as long as you can, so it will trigger another episode.
Okay. Dr. Thomas Coyne, what did you just say? A what migraine?
Well, hemiplegic would be describing paralysis or loss of sensation or motor function on one half of the body, or it could be you're referring to one half of the brain. But that would be a type of migraine where you'd have some sort of ischemia or stroke-like symptoms. But it seems highly unlikely from any of the behaviors she's previously exhibited.
You know, speaking of behavior she has previously exhibited, Dr. Coyne, can we have a little reality check about what exactly happened to Reagan?
Sure. I mean, it's horrible to even discuss again, but I know that, she was stabbed numerous times. I think even up approaching the number 100 stab wounds, including blunt crush injuries to her skull. And so I imagine up until a point when she lost a significant amount of blood, she was conscious, unfortunately, for those injuries. With regards to the infant, I'm assuming that child, a normal cesarean delivery, you would expect the child to survive. The child may have fluid in their lungs from a C-section, but in this case, because of the severe blood loss, there was probably a significant amount of time where that child was not receiving blood flow through the placenta because of all of those stab wounds. And that's probably why that child did not end up surviving. But I can't imagine the horror she went through or experienced until she lost consciousness.
We've heard about the makeup discrimination. We've heard about her light sensitivity. But there's more. Guess what? She's having a problem sleeping.
You getting me something to help me sleep and with the night terrors and for my depression. She said I probably talked to her every 3 weeks, but they had me on the list to talk to the counselor.
I am well aware that you did not think about the consequences of your acting. I know that. And I don't want to talk about this on here. I don't.
Well, I won't keep you long. That way you can work.
Okay, well, that way we can save money for Emerson. She'll be around tomorrow.
Gee, I wonder why she's having problems sleeping. Could it be the double murder? There's more.
Mom, they would charge me with on the fly right now if they could. Literally, that's what it comes down to. I mean, there's another girl that's here, and they literally, you know, just threw some bogus bullshit on her just because they could, just because it makes them look better. You do, it's like one horrible thing, they'll do anything and whatever. I mean, that's just what it comes down to. They don't give a shit.
I mean, I think I understand what you're saying, but I don't think just thinking about that like you should be thinking about that. I mean, it's not just you do one horrible thing and they try to throw the book at you.
Back to Emily Shirey and Jessica Brooks. Emily Shirey, when you hear your sister's killer whining about her light sensitivity and her makeup discrimination, claiming that if she, quote, on a fly, she'd catch another charge. How does that hit you? She referred to the murder of your sister as a, quote, one horrible thing. You do just one horrible thing and nobody forgets it.
Yeah, I definitely, during court, I was very angry about all of it as they were presenting it to the court, because they would, every time that one of these phone calls would happen, they would actively bring someone from the jail or someone, one of the witnesses on the stand, so the jury could actually hear what she was complaining about and what she was saying. And it was very frustrating because, obviously, Reagan's life meant so much more than that. And it wasn't just one horrible thing. It was absolutely the biggest mistake of her life. And unfortunately, we lost my sister and niece because of it.
To Reagan's mother, Jessica Brooks, I don't know how you're doing it, but you're taking all this pain and all this anger and all this loss, and you are pushing a brand new law, the Reagan and Braxton Protection Act. What is it?
Yes, ma'am. The laws failed our girls, period. We understand people need their privacy. We understand there's things that other people don't need to know about you or whatever. However, so many people knew. Yes, we talk about people that she had been friends with knew. We talk about friends that have found out that knew. They all were trying to reach out and trying to do what they could. However, the main thing we want to think about here is medical providers knew beyond a shadow of a doubt. They had proof that she had had a hysterectomy. They did it. You know, they performed that hysterectomy. They started watching her story, basically, on Facebook early on, and this kind of discussed it amongst themselves because that's legal, but they couldn't tell anyone outside of their facilities, anyone that did not have permission. And so all they could do was wait and see, basically, and that is what is so horrible. Yes, they did as much as they could by notifying the local hospital to be on alert, the code pink. And that's just saying somebody may be a danger to the infants in the hospital. Be on the lookout for a person that may try to steal a baby. That didn't save our girls. That didn't alert the people, other people that needed to know. And so that's what this law is going to focus on. You know, the main thing that we're focusing on is HIPAA, trying to change the permissions that providers have. Once in the beginning, she could have been planning to tell him she was pregnant have a miscarriage. Oh, I miscarried. But you don't have to have a body to prove that you miscarried. However, once it gets to the point that she's in the pregnancy where it has to be a stillborn to lose the baby, then she has to produce a body. And so at that point, people should have did know that it was dangerous to somebody or something. And still they couldn't notify anyone because they had no proof. She had not been in trouble with the law previously. She didn't have any history of violence, you know. It's just that they knew she was lying, that she was pregnant, and had not backed off of it. So our laws, hopefully, that we're working on, like I said, the HIPAA is going to be a federal thing that we have to get changed. We have to give medical providers and mental health providers the ability to protect these pregnant women and unborn children and infants. We have to give them the ability to reach out and not have to live with something like this for the rest of their lives. Another thing that we're focusing on as far as maybe a state level, it's in very early stages, but on the state level, we are hoping to hopefully, you know, say a woman saying she's pregnant, she's lying, and she has, say, a baby shower, and she's receiving these gifts, or she's getting, you know, state benefits, Medicaid, or just whatever we can find in there to make it a criminal offense is what we're going for. You know, we leave that up to the attorneys. We have ideas of what we want to look at, but we want something in place even before that point.
Miss Brooks, I am so inspired by you fighting on and doing everything in your power to somehow make something positive out of the suffering of your daughter, your grandchild, and your whole family. I wish you so much luck, and our prayers go with you as you continue to fight for justice in your own way. Tonight, we remember American hero Sergeant Morton Ford, Alexandria PD, Virginia, passed away in the line of duty after 26 years on the force, leaving behind brother Gary, sisters Connie and Lois. American hero Sergeant Morton Ford. Thank you to all of our guests for being with us tonight, especially Miss Brooks and Emily Shirey. Nancy Grace signing off for tonight, but I'll see you tomorrow night. And until then, good night, friend.
This is an iHeart podcast, guaranteed human.